Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, also a narcissistic abuse specialist expert. Today is Free Advice Friday, the day I take your calls and answer your questions about your abuse issues, and also take your calls if you have things that you want to share, experiences that you want to share that you think could benefit other people. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 424-220-1801. That's 424-220-1801. And while I'm waiting to see if anyone is going to call in today, I do want to talk to you about a topic, and that is why we stay with our abuser, why it's so hard to leave them or to get over them. And I want to start by talking about romantic, love relationships, marriages, dating, those kind of things. Why it's so hard to leave these people, and once we do, why it's so hard to get over it. So one thing that happens in the very beginning of these relationships is that the narcissist gets your oxytocin firing in your brain. So they, in essence, get you addicted to them. And once you're addicted, you are constantly looking for that high. So throughout this relationship, you just want that feeling to come back. But not only that, you try to get back, or we, I should say, try to get back what we thought we had. And, of course, we thought that the person representing themselves was honest and sincere. But the truth is that that person was an imposter. They were playing a role based on what you told them. That's the person that they became. So why would you doubt that when someone's telling you that they love you, someone's showing you all this affection? Why would you doubt their sincerity? It doesn't make any sense. So when that pivotal moment comes where everything changes and this perfect person suddenly is the devil, and you can't do anything right, you can't say anything right, you're always being put down, your logical mind goes to the place that says, well, I know that that perfect person existed, so maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that. And you could spend years trying different things, thinking and believing that if you just hit it right, or maybe that person is going through something, and when they're over it or whatever, you think if you just hit it right at the right time, they're going to come back to you. And what you don't understand while you're in the midst of this is that that person never existed. And I know that's really tough to wrap your head around, because you would never do that to someone, nor do you have the capacity to do that to someone. So logic tells you a person cannot possibly do this. But logic will get you in trouble. Denial of the truth will get you into trouble. And the reason logic will get you into trouble is because this is illogical. And so when you go into your brain and you try to find a place to put this craziness, there isn't one. So you've got to store it away in some other kind of thought process. And you use logic based on thinking that the person who represented themselves was sincere. And so you're using experiences that you've had in life, or what you know about the way a relationship should be, and applying it to this. And that will never work, because people with NPD do not think like we do. They are after one thing every day, and that is narcissistic supply. And they will say anything or do anything to get it. And that is it. Everything they say, everything they do is based on their need to get supply. Whether it is abusing you to hold you hostage, or to charm you into believing that they're this wonderful person so that you are ecstatic to be around this person. Sometimes they're charitable. Sometimes they give so much to the community. Of course, it's not done sincerely, but they do it. But all these things are meant to solicit either admiration, adoration, or attention, which is narcissistic supply, which they cannot live for a second without, because it takes them to a place. Without it, they go to a place inside of themselves that they loathe, and they don't want to go there. So another reason that we get hooked into these people is that we look for the potential in people. We are potential people. So instead of assessing the person for what you see and what they're doing for you, what they're giving to you, the qualities that they have, you may be seeing the potential. So this person, maybe he or she doesn't have a job right now, but he's really smart, and he's got a degree. So he could really do anything he wants to do. But the truth of the matter is he doesn't want to do anything. And you're waiting for his potential to blossom, and it never does. I was watching Dr. Phil the other day, and I have to tell you, Dr. Phil is excellent, amazing, amazing therapist, but he knows nothing about narcissistic abuse. And when I am watching his show and he has these families on or these couples on, and he's telling them, you know, we're going to bridge this gap and, you know, you need to be a little softer in your opinion and, you know, try to make this relationship amicable, and when he says these things, I am screaming at the television. Sometimes it gives me such a headache I have to walk away or turn it off. But there are some things that he says that are wonderful. And one thing that he says is that there used to be a time where we trusted people. We gave people the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. And a lot of us are stuck in that kind of thinking. Because nowadays, with the apps and the internet and all these scammers out there that can reach us, cannot trust people. So it's the opposite now. People have to present themselves with who they are. And it should be legit. It should be something you can prove. Not these erroneous statements like, well, I was this or I was that, or, you know, this is what I plan to do, or none of those things. Concrete information. That's what you base all your decisions on now. So if you're a potential person, get it out of your head, because it's going to lead you to trouble, to painful relationships. Another thing is the promise of the future that we believe we have with this person. Because probably you've talked about your future together. A lot of times they will tell you exactly what they want in the future, and they want to marry you, and they want to have children, or they want to live together, but, you know, they say the perfect things about the perfect relationship. And when it all dies, when it all changes, you go into a grieving. Because you were sold on this. This became a reality for you. You were sure this person was your future. And to have to accept that is truly a death. And that death feels exactly like losing someone physically. So you will go into all the stages of grief around death and dying. And the first one is total depression and incapacity. You just feel like you have no motivation. You're just crying all the time at the drop of a hat. The person that you thought you were is just a shell. All these things, and you're devastated. Often, this is a stage of grieving. And it's important to go through it. Now, if you are really, if this is really getting you to the point where you want to kill yourself because of it, then you must reach out for help. Because suicide is not part of the grieving process, or a healthy grieving process, I should say. We never want to get to that point. So if you do, you want to reach out. But I'm just telling you, I'm trying to assure you that if you are experiencing that, that that is grieving. Another reason that we person is that somehow we are financially locked in. Or we've loaned the person money. They've talked us into putting a down payment on a house or a business. And now we're stuck in this business and we've invested money. And we know we'll never get our money out of it if we leave. Or we have a house together. And the money is holding you hostage. And the thing I can tell you about that is, if you are in an abusive relationship with someone with NPD, if you get out with your sanity, you have won. Chances are you will not recoup all your investments. You will never get paid exactly what you think you deserve, whether it be alimony or child support. And if you get it, they eventually will contest it and take it away from you. So if you're holding on because of some kind of financial hold that they have on you, you do have a right to legally file for this stuff. But if you cannot get it and you're staying because of it, let it go. You are much better living homeless and poor and rebuilding your life than you are being abused this way. Because this abuse is not only emotional and psychological, it is physical. And it does cause illness. This will manifest in your body some way. High blood pressure, cancer, other strange maladies that you may have, headaches. It is going to affect you. And then what happens is you are stuck with this person and you could be an invalid. You could be, not only that, but you could be someone who has to have surgery and needs someone to care for them. And that person will dump you. So don't hold on for money. Get out, be poor, and start over if you have to. Don't let that money be held over your head. Another thing, this is a pretty obvious one, is children. If you have children with this person, you are tied to this person for life. But you don't have to be abused by this person. It is very complicated. I'm not going to minimize this at all. It's very complicated to leave a narcissist when you have children with that person, or they've adopted your children, because they have legal rights to these kids. And while they are abusers, and it destroys us thinking we're handing our precious children over to them, they still have that right. Often they give up that right eventually, but they do have that right. But if you're staying in one of these relationships because you're waiting for your children to get to a certain age, you know, you want them to grow up, you're thinking, all right, let me just get them to this point and then I'll leave. Understand that every year that they spend with with the narcissistic parent damages them more and more for life. So the longer you remain in it, the more child or children will be. There's no point in staying in these relationships. It's important to get out. Get your children out. And this is something that I have helped many people with. If you are in the process, if you're thinking about this, if you're thinking that, oh my gosh, I need to get out of this, but I don't know how to do this, work with me because I can guide you through that process and help you to get the best results possible. If you leave before you know strategies and you have advice, you may lose those children, or those children will turn against you and it will be a very difficult relationship. So get your children out, but find out the right way to do this first. Another fear that we have is the fear of being alone. Many of us have abandonment issues from childhood, and we don't know how to exist alone. So we'd rather, or we think we'd rather, be with an abuser than have to go it alone. And when you actually get out of this environment and you have the peace of mind of being alone, you will value it. It may not be the best possible scenario, but to know that you don't have to be triggered all the time or be on guard all the time or be waiting for the hammer to fall, the yelling to start, the cold distance behavior. When you are away from that, the peace of mind is amazing. So if you have abandonment issues, get some help for that and get out of these relationships. The other one is the fear of being too old or starting over. And the same thing applies. Everything that I said prior to this applies, because if you stay in this relationship, it will kill you, maim you, incapacitate you, and you will have no one to take care of you. And I've seen this so many times. If you can't get out for your emotional health and emotional safety, get out for your physical health and physical safety, because this makes people sick. The stress that you think you're enduring is held up and bottled inside of you, and it will manifest in some horrible way. It has to come out. So if you think you're staying and dealing with it, I'm telling you, you're not. You may think that you are, but your body is going to do something different. So whatever is out there is going to be better than what you're in. And your fear is empowering your abuser. Abusers use fear to get you to control you, to manipulate you. They use fear. When you can let that fear go and you can decide, I will give this person no more power over me, that's where all this fear is coming from. It's power. When you can say, I'm going to let the power this person has over me, which is very little, in fact, I'm going to let that go, and I'm not going to be fearful, because whatever is coming cannot be as bad as what I've been experiencing. Excuse me. And the other thing is, the fear of losing friends and losing your reputation. Once again, the harsh reality, this is going to happen. Because narcissists, there is no degree in which they will not stoop to ruin you, to hurt you, to smear you. They will do it. Because whether you leave them or they leave you, they see it. Well, they see you as property, and they see you as having stolen their property. And they are forever going to hold you accountable for that. So the first thing that the narcissist will do is they'll contact anybody and everybody, and they present themselves as the victim and you as the perpetrator, and they rally sympathy around them. And people are so up in arms and hostile about what you have done to this poor, desperate victim, that they go after you. There's no other way to do this. But it's why I say it's so important to work with someone like me, because this is about building your self-validation, your self-assurance, your self-love. This is what I had to do. This is what we all have to do. We have to learn to validate ourselves from within so that all this stuff on the outside doesn't matter to us. And that is something that comes with practice, and it comes with support, and it comes with tools. I was not a self-validator. I was not a self-lover. I had none of those tools. And what you're doing, if this is what you're seeking, if you're seeking this, you know, validation from other people, you're never going to get it, because this is too strange. No one understands it. There may come a time when they will, because that's what I work to do. That's my platform. That's my mission, is to get the word out as much as possible so we have support. But right now, it does not exist. You may, if you have one person who is willing to listen to you over and over and over, then you have won the lottery, because you will not have more than one, and you may not even have one. So the validation has to come within, and that is something that I don't get any outside validation still. I may get it from the people who like the work that I do, but from everybody else, no. I do not get validation. I get called a narcissist. I get called an abuser. I get it all turned around on me. And I have to just know. I know what I'm doing, and I'm not those things. So You can call me anything you want to call me at this point. I don't care. But this is something that you cannot just do, simply just say, I'm going to do it, and then do it. You must have support to do this and be given the right tools to help you. So now I'm going to switch over to the family, why we are so afraid to leave, whether it be our siblings, our parents, whatever it is. So one of the main things that holds us there is our religious beliefs or our belief in the Ten Commandments. And even if we're not religious, somehow that one Ten Commandment that says we should honor our mother and father, we seem to all know that one, whether we're religious or not. But I've talked to people, and I'm not religious, I've talked to people who are, and what that means is that you honor the honorable. If your parents are not honorable, that does not apply. You know, think of it in terms of this. Think of it in terms of how you know about things today. If you have parents who are molesting you or beating you, are you supposed to honor them? No, that's not what that means. You're not supposed to honor abusers. You can honor parents who are respectful and who honor you, because it's a two-way street. The other thing is the denial of logic, and I talked about that with the romantic relationships, the love interests. Every time you try to use logic and you go back and say, well, but he or she did this, so they're not all bad, and they didn't hit me, so how can I be so hateful towards them? How can I not love them? Emotional abuse is worse than physical abuse and even sexual abuse sometimes, because those are tangible things. You can feel it. You can see it happening. You know it happened. Emotional abuse, most of what happens to you, you are unaware of. So this is very serious. This is in the category of the abuse of a sociopath or a psychopath. I'm not saying that narcissists are either one of those, but in this cluster B disorder group, they have one dominant personality disorder and aspects of others, and the others are borderline and histrionic. So this is very, very serious. So when you keep going to that place of that they did something nice for you, understand all narcissists will do things nice for you. It's called intermittent good-bad reinforcement. And they do it to suck you back in when you begin to pull away. So there are going to be good memories, but they're deliberately placed in your mind so that you will hold on to them and dismiss the rest. Okay. Another one is the preconceived images of what the family or parents should look like. We have images of what mother is, of what father is, of what a family unit is supposed to look like. And so we find it very difficult to look at a family member who is abusing us as anything but loving. But when you take it apart and you apply what they do to maybe how you would do it, you'll see it is not loving at all. And this is something that creates cognitive dissonance. It's very hard. It's very hard to get that image of what you thought you had and what that role is supposed to be out of your head. But until you do, you can't heal from it. Death of the dream of the anticipated future with your family, which includes the traditions, family traditions, your holidays spent together, the grandparents that you want for your children or want for your future children. It's a death of a dream. And it is isolating. And that's very scary. So in order to be able to do this, you've got to have support. You need tools. You need to be secure within yourself. You need to understand what you're going to lose and what you're going to gain. And I assure you that what you gain is much, much better because it's peace of mind. And there's nothing in this world that compares to peace of mind. Nothing. Serenity. Joy. Happiness. The feeling of not having to wonder what's going to happen in your immediate environment at any given time. It's worth the sacrifice of everything else. A lot of people fear the retaliation of their abuser. And you probably have heard narcissistic abuse or abusers compared to the Wizard of Oz, because in this story or movie, most of us know the movie, Dorothy and her friends are before the Great Oz, and on the screen, he is the most terrifying thing you could ever see. And they run away, because how can you go up against the Great Oz? But in the end, we find out who the Great Oz is, and he's a little man pushing levers. That is your abuser. He is the Wizard of Oz. I'm not saying that he cannot hurt you, but I'm saying that your fears are larger than what the actual result will be. If you have been physically abused and you are in danger, that is another story. You do have something to fear, and you need protection for that, because you don't need to get out of this and get killed. You need strategies for getting out of it. You need strategies for staying safe when you do. That is for domestic violence. What I'm talking about is domestic abuse, and that is emotional and psychological. So that fear, there's nothing that person can do to you that you will not be able to handle. Don't stay because you fear retaliation. The fear of being judged or rejected or ostracized by family members, by your parents, by your siblings, by your cousins, by your aunts and uncles, by your neighbors and friends, it's going to happen. Because as I said before, nobody gets this. As you would not have before you learned about this. Nobody understands this, and they believe you have some role to play in it. And they're going to hold you accountable. But not are they going to hold you accountable, but at the same time, you're alleging all these things about your abuser. The abuser is alleging all these things about you. And they're much more pitiful, and they will stoop to any level to get the sympathy they need. So they are poor, poor, desperate people. And everyone that you know is going to go to that person. Whether it be your siblings going to your mother or your father or your friends going to, you know, to your ex or whatever it is, everyone rallies around the abuser who is now portrayed as the victim. And the victim has portrayed you as an abuser. And people are looking at you horribly, and they're going to. Once again, there's no easy way to get out of these relationships. That's why I always say, you've got to have help, you have to have strategies, because all these things are going to happen. But they will not ruin you. They may set you back, but they will not ruin you if you get the help and get the tools and get the support to go through this and get out of it. The fear keeps you stuck in a situation that will destroy you inevitably. It may have already destroyed you emotionally and psychologically. It will destroy you physically, and that's just around the corner, because your body cannot handle this. Many of us have belief that our enabling parent is innately good because they weren't nearly as bad as the other parent. And so we hold on to that relationship, and because we hold on to that relationship, we have to hold on to the abuser parent's relationship. I have a very strong opinion on enabling parents. Enabling parents are in it for themselves. When push comes to shove, they will not protect you, they will not protect their children, they will protect themselves. And that means cowering to their partner. That always will come first. So if you think you have this really nice, quiet, meek other parent, think about how they protected you. Think about what they put into you. Think about how they prepared you for life. Because that's the parent's job, to protect you and prepare you for life. To be there, to give you unconditional love, no matter what you do, if you act out, if you rebel, whatever you do, to not hold you responsible for that, to discipline you, but not hold you responsible as a person and judge you for it. Okay, I'm going to move this along. Another one is fear of losing money or inheritance. That speaks for itself. Are they dangling a carrot in front of you? Are you afraid that the money they say they're going to give you, they're not going to give you? Are you afraid that they property and now you're living in that property? And if you leave, you'll lose where you live? None of this is worth it. And as I said, if you get out of any kind of these of relationship with your sanity intact, or even a semblance of it that can be healed, you have won. Don't hold on to money. It's material, and it will destroy you. Being indebted to your parent or someone for something he or she has done for you. They've given you a loan. They put you through school. They gave you a place to live when you were destitute. And now you think, I'm forever in debt. And sometimes you think you should be in debt because they did this for you. I'm telling you that narcissists do things for you to hold you in debt. You are not in debt. Anyone who loves you is going to do for you without holding you in debt to anything. They're going to do it out of love and care. And you are not in debt to that person. If you decide you want to do something nice for that person, well, then okay. But parents who hold you in debt like this are keeping you hostage. And they didn't earn it. They did one or two things. In the course of your entire lifetime that you have magnified to make them out to be superstars, and they are not superstars. They did it to keep from losing you, to hold you, to make you feel guilty. Guilt is powerful. It's time to get over that and let that go. And the last one that I want to talk about, as our time is running out, is the fear of, if you have an elderly parent, the fear of that parent dying and you being unresolved about it. This is a tough one, and this is something that you have got to wrestle with yourself with and figure out, because you have to know that when they pass, you're going to be okay. The same tools and support and validation that I've been talking to you about all throughout this show is the same thing. You must be resolved within yourself before you can do these things, because otherwise you will suffer for the rest of your life. But you can get to a point where you completely understand that maybe this person truly had no value and all they were was a detriment to you. But that is your decision, and you've got to come to it. And you can't come to it before you've done the work. So a lot of people stay around and, you know, stay with their parents, or at least keep the door open because they say they're old. And other people will say that to you. Oh, your parents are elderly. Oh, my parents are crazy too. You know, my parents, they do, you know, they say things and, you know, listen, they're just old. Ignore it. But if your parents have abused you your entire life and they are continuing to abuse you, this is an entirely different story. It's not about their age. It's about their personality disorder, and they have one. So, bottom line to all of this, don't fear your abuser. They have very little power over you unless they are physically abusing you. Then you're in trouble and you need help. Don't let them dangle carrots in front of you, because they can pull that up as fast as they can put it down. And you may or may not get what they promise you. So don't fall prey to that. Get help, because the result of what you will lose around you can be devastating and lonely. And you have to understand where it's coming from. You have to understand how to deal with these people, how to behave, what to say, and how to move forward with your life. But it's going to happen. Don't let that stop you. Because as I said, you're going to get sick. Don't stay in these relationships because of fear. Get help. I'm here to help you. That's the best I can say. I have great success with the people who come to me. And it's very quick. You may think this could never heal, and I'm telling you, when you work with me, it's much quicker than you could ever imagine. So please consider that. So we didn't have any callers today. You know, that's okay. If you just wanted to listen, that's okay, because I really wanted to go over this. Because, you know, I tell you, I never know what I'm going to say till I'm ready to say it. And this was what I got the message that you need to hear. So this is what I'm sharing with you, and I think it's very important. I got to cover all my points and share that information with you, which I think is extremely important for you to hear. If you have any questions or you would like to email me, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. You can also go to my website, randygfine.com, Randy's with an I always, randygfine.com, and go to Fine Life Issues Counseling. And you can see my policies, see my fees, which are nominal, and just make that commitment for 2019 that you're going to get this stuff healed because you've had enough. So, anyway, I'm going to say goodbye now. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.